wrapping up the weekend of footy.
Let's talk some footy.
This is the Rush Hour Recovery Session for Coat Tire. Call 13 15 52 and let's make it happen.
Oh, and Bill, we normally get Damo or Jay-Z in and go down the journalistic path with this Coat Tire wrap, but so much is happening that we just decided we had to get the king in.
Exactly.
The main man.
And leave it to me this little bit, because you're a former president of this great club, and they were going okay when you were there, which I hate to say. But we've got a superstar of this former great club.
Greatest
North Melbourne. Now, Duck.
Yes, Bill.
You were on Talking Footy last night, and you said that North Melbourne are becoming irrelevant, and Jared Pollock is clearly overpaid. Now, what are you saying? Why are they irrelevant?
Well, they're irrelevant, Bill, because, let's be honest, Carlton, who have, you know, lost, they've had their first win on the weekend. We've now been talking about the Blues and other teams. Melbourne, obviously not a good start. Adelaide, even Adelaide have had more traction over in Melbourne than what North Melbourne have had because of their bad start to the season. It's taken this for us to finally stand up and take notice. And look, as a former player of that club, I support the club. I support Brad Scott. You haven't heard me say anything negative about Brad or anyone in the administration. What disappoints me is I look at the club and it's what do they stand for, Bill?
Yep.
And I look at the players right now. And look, Cunnington's a gun. Zeeble had a bad one on the
Higgins
weekend, but I respect him. Higgins is a superstar. Brown can do some amazing things.
I love Tarrant.
I love Thompson. Yep. They've got some. But right now, I look at them and I say, would you pay? You haven't paid to go to the footy for a long time.
No, you're right.
But would you pay your 25 or 30 bucks to go and watch the Kangaroos just for an individual? Maybe Higgins right now, but not too many others. And it's just for me, they've just lost some sort of credibility in and around who and what they stand for.
Okay.
You talk about this great thing called the shin boners. Well, right now, they're nothing like the great shin boners. So that's what's disappointing.
Yeah, fair enough. You can say that.
No, I'm not arguing with that. And I think when you're 1-4, this is the exact sort of criticism that 1-4 brings.
Yeah.
You deserve, when you're 18th on the ladder, to be criticised for the way you're going about the 2 hours of every weekend. And as we discussed on Saturday, thankfully, by the sound of it, I was in the air flying back from Brisbane. Mm. But what was served up on Good Friday was not even in the ballpark of good enough.
Well, it's just not competitive.
No, exactly.
And the one thing that the Kangaroos have always stood for as long as I know, is even when, you know, we haven't been a good team over the last couple of years, we finished ninth last year, but even in games, Bill, where we've lost.
Yeah.
It's been exciting footy for one.
Yep.
So you've wanted to pay your money to come and watch them.
Always
and
tough to play against.
Yeah, and two, you're competitive. And that has disappeared. Now, it's disappeared for some other clubs this year as well. I guess the question and the reason why we question, why? What is going on? And
so you're happy with the coach?
I'm happy with the coach. Right. I'm a fan of both the Scott boys. Yeah. I love Brad and Chris. I like the way they go about it. Clearly, for whatever reason, that message isn't getting across. We hear all types of rumour and innuendo. And, I think it came up last night, JB, that, you know, the CEO, Ben Buckley, lives in Sydney and Peter DeRouche has made comments and all sorts of stuff.
What do you say about that, Jim?
Well, David Koch has lived in Sydney the whole time he's been the chairman of Port Adelaide. Hasn't held him or them back. It's the greatest lot of garbage of all time. What you said was that the 22 playing are the ones that have carriage over the club's performance. Couldn't agree with you anymore. And for me, it's go back to what you actually stand for and what you're famous for, which is being, well, the saying across the top of the doorway is never beaten.
Yep.
Now, at the moment, they're getting beaten too easily. So go away and do whatever you need to do to fix that bit and the rest will look after itself.
Agreed.
What about the Melbourne Footy Club, Duck? Because they finished very well last year and I think they all thought, we turn up this year and we play final.
I think Melbourne, and look, only they can answer this, I think Melbourne thought, and it's maybe been a problem of theirs in the past, but from an outsider, not being inside the four walls, and it's very easy for us to make judgment, I reckon they got ahead of, I think they think, they or they thought they're better than what they are, because you can't have a team like St Kilda and other teams that roll out there and people with less ability, you don't need ability to chase, you don't need ability to tackle, you don't need ability to be standing in the right spot when you need to.
Dennis Hagan here.
You've got these guys from other clubs right now, and you can even put Richmond in this category. And that's why we admire the way they play and the injuries that they've got at the moment.
Yeah.
But they go out there and they say, you know what, we have to do this for the team first. If we do this, then invariably we all become winners together. And I think Melbourne sort of think, okay, yes, they've got guns, Brayshaw, Oliver, I love Jones. They've got a lot of very good players in that team. But do they, and I'm not talking about those guys
Tom
in particular,
Dudo.
But do all of the team together, are they united yes. in what they're trying to achieve? Are they standing in the right spot? Do they chase as hard?
Yeah.
Do they want to tackle as much as these role players who have less ability?
What interests me, Duck, with the Melbourne model at the moment is when you look at the stat sheet at the end of every game, those blokes you're talking about have all had 25 to 35 of it.
Plenty of the ball.
So when your best players are getting plenty of it and you're still getting beaten easily by teams that are middle of the road expected. Now, so the Saints might be better than that, but you expect them to be somewhere around the middle.
And it's a subconscious thing. That's an easy word to throw out because it's undefined. You can't define it.
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe there's players at Melbourne that look and they see Brayshaw having that. They see Oliver doing that. They see Max Gawn doing what he does and Viney going in as hard as, you know, a cat's head, as you like to say, Bill. They see all of that and they think, well, you know, we're coming along for the ride. Yep. Are they prepared to do the work as a team to get what... is the result they want.
We need to get to a break, Bill. When we come back, what about either in Melbourne or North?
Yeah, tension. Is there tension there between Brendan McCartney and the players?
Well,
yes or no?
I mean, that's been reported.
Yes.
If that's the case, I mean, in today's game, all of those little things, they add up. And if that is an issue, I would be astounded if Simon Goodwin and others at the club are not across that and making sure they're doing everything they can to fix it.
Magnificent day yesterday, Easter Monday, and the Cats beat the Hawks. It's always a good day. But I tell you what, and I'm not being condescending or whatever the word is, but...
That's the right word.
That is the word.
Hawthorn. Hawthorn were very good yesterday because they got a lot of players out and injured, and then Stratton pulled out before the game. But it was a good game yesterday.
Oh, and that's why, with what we were speaking about before the break, we respect Hawthorn because they doesn't matter who they've got in. They play to a team structure and they all give their all, and they're always going to be competitive. They were beaten by a better side though, and what a side. Geelong are looking like a real team to beat, without stating the obvious. But the changes that they've made, Bill, especially up forward, you know, Dale House, Rowan, Paddy spending more time up there, young Myers. These kids, the speed and the pressure, Big Tomahawk, Radicalia now up there, so two big focal points.
Yep.
But they keep the ball inside their forward 50 and the great man.
Oh, what about that yesterday? The mark of the day, which was fantastic, because not known for his big grabs, but then a minute later kicks that goal from the boundary. I see Jeff Kennett said that even Geelong fans were booing Ablett. Oh, no, please. They weren't, Jeffrey. It was Hawthorn fans booing him, and then towards the end it was the Geelong fans cheering him.
I never heard two bigger cheers over the day than when he kicked his two goals and took that mark. So I agree with you, Bill. And look, Hawthorn have booed G. Ablett before, so it's not new to
him. How does that feel, though? You had it your whole career, especially the back end. The last 5 or 6 years, every time you played at the MCG for North, you'd cop it from the opposition fans and hadn't done anything in the game to deserve it, but just the standing you had as a player at the time. How does that feel?
Yeah, look, I think when you're not, it's hard to remember back, but I think when you're in the zone, when you cross that line and the crowd is into the game, believe it or not, that emotion, it's a bit like love and hate. They sit pretty closely next to one another. It's the two strongest emotions that you can have. Ooh. So to really cheer for someone or to boo for someone, it shows that they're very emotional about, you know, that
backhanded
moment.
Compliment almost.
Yes, exactly right. So I think that a lot of players, when they're going well, like Gary was yesterday, would thrive on it. Now, when that booing, if that booing came and you're not playing so well yourself and the team was losing, then that would have a bit of a deeper effect.
Yeah,
but,
no doubt.
But yesterday, look, I don't like booing of any players, to be honest. In actual fact, who are the dingbats that...
I don't know. I never understand
that stand in a crowd and go boo, and they've got their kids standing next to them and their accountant at PricewaterhouseCoopers.
Well, they pay their money, don't they?
Sorry, PricewaterhouseCoopers. no, but you know what I mean? People, I know they pay their money.
They pay their money.
What loser stands there and boos?
Yeah, that's a fair point. Very important. And he was good. I'll tell you what, he might get another year.
On current form.
And I was a bit of a skeptic in terms of him just playing forward.
Yeah.
He has been brilliant, Bill. He's showing why he's an absolute champion and performing.
Anzac Day coming up, of course. I had a good look at the previous, I reckon, 9 Anzac Days. Collingwood have won 7 of them. And the average winning margin's about 6 or 7 goals. So Collingwood have owned this day, really. But this is the best Essendon have been coming into Anzac Day for a long time. So I reckon we're set up up for an absolute cracker. I hear it's already sold out, so you got 95,000 plus. It's
Anzac
just
Day,
brilliant.
And you know what? It's a toss of the coin. The old two-up bill. I reckon. I really do. I think actually that's an interesting stat. I thought they were a lot closer than
well,
that.
Well, Essendon haven't been great through the whole drug saga and everything, so there are probably reasons for it.
Yeah, but this is a ripper, and because of the indifferent week, we've had to give our tips already. And look, I'm slightly leaning towards Collingwood because maybe a little bit more trust in Collingwood over the last year and a bit. Essendon can be hot or sometimes cold, so. It's going to be a ripper. I think this is the best one we've had for a very, very, very long time. I'm going to go with the Pies, though. Yeah. I think that they have the defence now that matches up pretty well against Essendon's forward line. And I'm not sure Collingwood will allow Saad and those guys, McKenna and these guys, to run off half-back. Yeah. So it's going to be an intriguing game.
But also the mids last week, Essendon mids, Scheel, Merritt and Heppel just did what they wanted. I don't think Collingwood will let...
And that's where the game will be won and lost. That head-to-head battle in the middle will be fascinating. Can't wait. Got the day off, believe it or not.
Oh. So
We'll be able to... Well, I'll be sitting on the couch rather than in a commentary box.
Who with?
Actually watching the game.
Who with?
Well, probably the kids.
Potsy?
Well, I haven't got a bag to be carried, so.
It'll be great.
Have you got over Good Friday?
Good Friday wasn't Good Friday. Other than the Kangaroos' performance, what a day! Raised a lot of money.
Oh,
it was good, Bill, wasn't it?
No, I'm talking Friday. You're talking about Stevie J just going head to head. The two big goats.
How did he go, Stevie J? Do you reckon Sydney?
No, they're struggling. I tell you what, they're slow in the middle. They struggle down back, and they've only got Buddy up front.
Battle of the Bridge on the weekend, obviously. GWS and Sydney.
Get on the
fascinating game, that one.
Not really. Giants will win that.
Yeah, okay.
I think they're very aware, quite privately aware they're at, Sydney. That's my take on them.
I think
they've got a very realistic view of where they're at. I think they know that they're in this redevelopment phase. How low they have to go to make that work will depend on a bit in the academy, I reckon, Duck.
Yep.
Because they do get a great leg up with that. If they've got a couple of kids coming through in the next couple of years who are elite out of the academy, they don't have to pay the ultimate price for them, which means they might be able to double bang in a couple of drafts. But I reckon just looking at horse, he knows exactly where that club's at.
Yeah, I agree. I think Sydney are one of those teams that will never bottom out. They're not going to finish anywhere near the bottom, but I think they'll finish somewhere just outside the eight this year. And I agree. I think they've got the ability within the group already, let alone who they'll get over the next year, to just relaunch next year.
And we need to acknowledge the Saints. Like, everyone had them as coming stone motherless, especially with the injuries coming into the year.
Yes.
They have been absolutely brilliant. And even if they do nothing from now on, they've still been brilliant.
Oh, yeah.
I was one that said they'd finish in the bottom couple, Bill, and Richo was under all sorts of pressure. But it gets back to that point that they're buying in.
Yep.
They've all bought in. They know what they have to do. They've got improvement naturally out of the group.
Yep.
They've bought in a couple of mature ages from, you know, different competitions.
Wilkie.
From over in Perth. Wilkie.
And Parker.
And Parker's the one that you wouldn't want to run into in a dark alley, Bill.
You kept saying that, Duck. I reckon you'd be all right.
So, you know what? They're exciting and good luck to them. I will say this, though. They've played some teams. A little bit of luck. Hawthorn dropped a couple down, and they played teams out of form. Melbourne obviously clearly weren't not in great form at the moment, and this next month will test them out. But
it's great to see them up there.
Even in saying that, big tick.
Good on them.
Great to see him up there, and also Jack Billings, who's copped it over the last 100%. Couple of years.
And I put Freo in the same bucket too. I don't think anyone saw Freo playing as well as they are.
You can't write Ross Lyon off.
Agreed. No. Great to see you. He's looking sharp too.
You've been out for lunch,
crisp.
Yes, out for
lunch. Where'd you go for lunch, Doug?
Crisp. You don't get invited, Bill. to see you, mate. Thanks for dropping by.
Go back to sleep, Bill.
See you, Potsy.
That was the Rush Hour Recovery Session for Coates Hire. Call 13 15 52 and let's make it happen.